past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Good morning. It's a difficult morning so far in London, England, Riley. There are reports coming out of London, England as we speak right now that are implying initially they said there was a power surge. It caused some outages on the trains. Now it's pretty clear that an attack of some kind has happened or is happening.
That's right. We now have confirmed 6 explosions within the London Underground system. That system is shut down. What we're looking at also are at least three explosions on buses running through central London, one near Russell Square. This is in the heart of the financial district in London, the central city. It looks like the city's entirely panicked. There are eyewitness reports of people coming out of the train bathed in blood in a couple of instances.
No reports of fatalities or numbers or anything like that. But I tell you, man, if this is an attack of some kind, it's pretty scary. The timing is horrifying. It's a day after the Olympics were announced that they were going to be in London, England. And my first thought was like, well, if this is a synchronized attack in reaction to that, could there have been other attacks waiting to happen in other cities that were on that list? There's a lot of, obviously, things that are going to unfold. But what's unfolding right now is that there were 3 explosions on buses in England, and there were 6 outages in the underground tube station.
6 explosions, true.
Rachel Maddow has just walked into the studio to update us on the situation. Situation in London. Rachel?
Hey, fellas.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I'm just monitoring stuff as best I can. The BBC website is inaccessible from the U.S. right now, just because probably from sheer force of people trying to get through.
Uh-huh.
According to the AP right now, they're describing several blasts, at least one on a double-decker bus. We're also hearing from some other sources from CNN. We're hearing 3 double-decker buses. A packed double-decker bus in the Russell Square area described as severely damaged in the blast. A second bus reported to have been damaged in Tavistock Square. And a third bus explosion reported as well. Of course, they've shut down the entire underground. Roads are being closed. People on trains on the underground are describing blasts. Actually, some collisions being described.
Yeah.
And passengers needing to be led to safety. The entire mobile phone network in London also appears to be down at this point, possibly.
Wow. Everybody trying to use their cell phones at once to get in touch with loved ones.
Yeah.
Wow. So if anyone's on a landline in London, 866-303-2270, if you have any input or if you can see anything that's going on there.
That's right. It happened right at the height of the rush hour. The first blast reported at 8:49 a.m. local time, which, as you know, with rush hour, that's absolutely the time when stuff is most packed. So,
and Blair's expected to make a statement, I imagine, soon.
From Edinburgh, yeah. He's up at the G8, so he's going to be making a statement. The mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, is on his way back from Singapore.
That's
so
right.
They're probably getting information roughly the same pace that we're getting it.
Absolutely.
And so there's no indication as far as what exactly this is, who's taking responsibility. The timing, obviously, suspect. It's clearly some sort of synchronized attack.
Yeah, and again, troubling that at first it was thought to be a power surge. Before the word of the bus explosion got out, it was a series of explosions on the train, and people thought, well, it might well have been some kind of a power surge or something wrong with the electrical system. As Rachel points out, there was a report that 2 trains collided somewhere within the underground system. That system is now shut down in London completely. You can't get on a train.
That sounds like chaos. So, Rachel, will you stay on top of this for us?
Absolutely will. Right now,
for everybody listening.
I will tell you that there are no confirmed reports of fatalities. There are definitely eyewitness reports of some serious injuries, but we don't have a grasp of that at all yet. We don't even really know how many explosions there have even been. So I'll stay on it as best I can and keep you posted.
Great. We'll come back to Rachel after each break with an update of the unfolding situation in London. So, Riley, this is pretty scary stuff for a Thursday morning, for any morning, obviously.
Yeah, it's some scary stuff. It's scary stuff for me personally. My wife's family is in the London area. My wife's cousin, who we stayed with last Christmas, commutes into London every day, goes through the King's Cross station where apparently one of these explosions took place. So, of course, I'm a little nervous about this myself. And this is the kind of thing, the kind of panic that happened on September 11th, obviously, on a slightly different scale, but people not knowing what's going on, people on their way to work, you know, experiencing these kinds of explosions. And of course, you know, the London Underground, during the height of the IRA bombings had been, you know, this kind of target before. That's why if you go into, the London Underground, you don't see garbage cans anywhere, because the IRA used to leave bombs in garbage cans. And of course that would create exploding shrapnel in the train. But now you see a situation where without hard information, without anybody claiming responsibility, we don't even know if this is the extent of it at this point.
Yeah, obviously, it's still unfolding. More horrible things could happen. I hope they don't, but it's clearly some sort of synchronized attack being done by someone.
Yes.
And the timing would obviously indicate, from where I'm standing, that that this is in reaction to the announcement of the Olympics being in London, which makes me horrified to speculate that, given that there were so many cities still on the list as of yesterday when they made the announcement. Now, could this have been, I guess it's too soon to really tell.
It's too soon to tell, Mark, but one thing you do know in terms of the timing is that this was done to impact a large number of people, a large number of commuters on their way to work. This didn't happen in the middle of the night. It didn't happen during the, you know, during the time when people were in their offices. This happened in the train during a time when huge numbers of people were in the train.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's like that feeling. I've got that creepy feeling where everything is askew and horrifying.
Yeah.
And this is happening, obviously, in London, England. If you're just tuning in, there have been several explosions, three confirmed bus explosions with people on. We have no fatality numbers yet. There have been at least six events in the underground tube stations, one involving a collision of trains. You know, this news is happening as we're speaking to you right now. We have no reports of fatalities yet. It's obviously a synchronized, planned attack on the behalf of we don't know who.
Yeah, and of course, the system in London, the entire tube system, is shut down. No word on when it will reopen. And CNN is reporting that the first explosion apparently was registered about 8:49 a.m. local time, which is scarily enough about 3 minutes difference between the September 11, 2001 explosions local time here, which took place at 8:46.
This is awful news, and we'll have Rachel Maddow, our news person, and also the host of the Rachel Maddow Show, that's on before our show, is, you know, busy, you know, collecting information, staying on top of the situation, and will bring us updates every few minutes, if necessary. We will keep you abreast of the situation in London. Dealing with news here, Time Magazine reporter Matthew Cooper has agreed to testify before the grand jury in the case, the grand jury case involving, you know, who leaked the name of Valerie Plame, the undercover CIA operative. The only reason that Matthew Cooper says he's going to be testifying is because his source gave him permission to speak up.
Yeah, apparently in a personal phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So now Matthew Cooper is going to testify before that grand jury. Judith Miller has been held in civil contempt of court. She's to be locked up until the end of the grand jury, which most people figure is going to be October.
Now, later in the show, we're going to be talking to Jim Moore, a journalist out of Texas, to really explore the Rove issue, the treasonous Karl Rove, and whether or not there is a case that can be built against him for perjury. We're going to go point by point over the Matthew Cooper, Judith Miller history of this case. This is important. We've also got stories that are implicating the National Guard in a spying situation, a monitoring situation of activists in California. And of course, we will keep you abreast of the situation unfolding in London, where there have been three confirmed explosions of buses and six confirmed incidents, explosive incidents within the tube station, one collision of trains. Stay with us. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 15 past the hour.
Morning Sedition.
Just to wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Thank you.
19 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We are monitoring a situation out of London, England. There seems to have been an apparent attack of some kind involving buses and tube stations. Rachel Maddow, the host of the Rachel Maddow Show, also our news person here at Air America, is with us monitoring the situation. What's going on, Rachel?
There's not that much new to report. The latest news that we've got, CNN is now reporting police are confirming two fatalities. We've had reports, a lot of eyewitness reports, and actually you can see some of the people being interviewed on TV are obviously injured. We don't have a number of injuries so far, but police confirming two fatalities. Three blasts on buses still being confirmed, and quite a number of blasts at tube stations. Incidents reported at the Aldgate station, which is near the Liverpool Street Railway Terminal, at Edgware Road, at King's Cross in North London, Old Street, which is in the Financial District, and Russell Square in central London near the British Museum. Apparently the first blast, the first response from emergency services was to Liverpool Street. The second one was to Edgware Road, and then it became apparent that there were multiple nearly simultaneous blasts. So far they're still responding. Roads being closed, underground's been shut down. The entire mobile phone network in London still appears to be down, mostly because of volume.
And people trying to get in touch with their loved ones. You see, I remember that day here on 9/11, just that panic of calling people, and that must be going on there everywhere. Because this is obviously a synchronized, very organized attack. It's clearly an attack. We don't know from where or from who.
Right, and we know that no warnings were given, and we know that it was timed to happen at, or at least as far as is evident now, we know that no warnings were given, and we know that it was timed to cause, to affect the most number of people. It was 10 minutes to 9 during rush hour.
Rush hour in England. Tony Blair expected to make a statement within the hour. We'll be hopefully carrying that live, most definitely carrying it live. I know you've got to do a news broadcast in a few minutes, and we'll be checking in with Rachel after every break to keep you updated on the unfolding situation in England, where there has been several attacks that seem to be, you know, quite connected and very organized in the middle of rush hour there.
Thanks, guys. I'll be back.
Thank you, Rachel.
You know, one thing, Mark, that is going to be important to note here, remember that Tony Blair is the host of the G8 summit. He's not just a participant. He is now the host. My guess is these explosions and Tony Blair's response as British Prime Minister are going to probably refocus the tone of the G8 summit if it does absolutely nothing else.
To global security?
Well, it's going
to terrorism.
And, of course, you know, how are they going to conduct business on Kyoto and the rest of these things that were the original agenda when Tony Blair, the guy who's hosting the summit, now has to turn around and deal with this situation?
You know, I'll tell you, this coming off of the Live Aid concerts where 2 to 3 billion people watch and awareness has been elevated over the situation in Africa, the extreme poverty that, you know, about a third of 13% of the world's population lives in Africa, that was meant to be at the top of the docket.
Yes.
At the G8 summit, addressing the global poverty issue, where, you know, Tony Blair was going to reach out to the other seven members of the G8 and, you know, sort of urge them to kick in and double the money given to global poverty. Now, how this is going to affect the G8 and where this attack come from, this attack that is unfolding in London now, we don't even know if it's over. There could be more blasts on the way. God, I hope not. Three buses again exploded during rush hour. There are at least six explosions in tube stations there. They're reporting two fatalities. As we said, we're going to keep it, you know, keep you abreast of the situation as it unfolds.
Yeah, and I mean, you never know. Two things that are worth taking a look at here. Number one, for those of you who have never been to London, the train stations are way further underground than they are here in New York. New York used a fairly simple way to build the subway system, so if it needs to be evacuated, people have to go up maybe 1-2 flights of stairs. If the elevators aren't running in London and the power's out, that means they have to go up the equivalent of 10-12 flights of stairs in order to get out of the system. It's much, much deeper underground. So you're going to see probably a lot more problems in terms of evacuation. The other thing that's worth noting here is that apparently this morning at the Great Eastern Hotel in London, there was supposed to be a conference on the Israeli economy. which was keynoted by Israeli Finance Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was supposed to be at the conference.
That was this morning?
Yes.
Well, you know, so, you know, what you're saying, you're painting a picture, Riley, you know, given the fact that Tony Blair is hosting the G8 in Scotland today, that the Olympics were just announced, and now that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu was to be in England this morning, you know, who the hell knows, you know, what the momentum was behind these attacks. And yeah. I don't think we're going to know that. Probably not this morning, maybe. We will hear from Tony Blair, but I have to assume that, you know, he's being briefed, but he's getting his information as we are right now. I'm sure a little more specific, but...
Well, yeah, more specific. But that Great Eastern Hotel was evacuated in the wake of these explosions. So at least some people, some security people in London thought there might have been some kind of a connection there.
Well, yeah, it's a logical connection to make. Netanyahu is a very polarizing figure, and certainly in terms of a perceived enemy to Palestinians and to the Arab world, certainly he is one of their prime targets. That could be what this is about. It could be anything at this point. We have no idea. We can only make assumptions. I'll tell you one thing though, it scares the hell out of me, because you know this is the type of thing, when you live in a big city, when you live in New York City, you take the train every day. And you're looking around, you're trying to sense if you're safe. You don't see any real difference in the safeguards that have been taken. You don't see any real presence of things that would make you feel any safer. You just go with the assumption that something horrible isn't going to happen. And that's an assumption that the people in England today can no longer afford or have.
Absolutely.
Because something horrible is happening. And as you said, you know, these trains are much deeper underground. But it doesn't matter. Any subway is a horrifying situation to be in, you know, with the stairs and the evacuation process.
And the power out, which means that the train stations are probably largely dark. This is every commuter's worst nightmare, certainly every urban commuter's worst nightmare.
Yeah, I think it's every person's worst nightmare as well, to be involved, not to make light of anything. We're going to try and integrate some other news into today's program, but you know, this is unfolding, and this is very urgent and horrible. I've got that same horrendous feeling I had the morning of 9/11, where there's chaos in the world, that there's fear in the world, there's horror, there's death, and it seems to be motivated by some of the most insidious forces that are out there. Look, you know, we will try to talk about a little bit about Matthew Cooper and Judith Miller and the Karl Rove case, and a little bit about the Supreme Court. We'll see if we can pull it all together, but we will definitely keep you abreast of the situation unfolding in London, where there have been several explosions. So stay with us, because that's coming up next. It's a sad morning today, but we'll keep you informed. It's Air America Radio. It's 27 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark.
Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Four past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's a morning filled with horror for people in London, England right now. There have been several explosions. There have been six explosions in the tube station, one train collision because of those explosions, at least one double-decker bus there was an explosion on, maybe up to three buses. There have been two confirmed fatalities. Reuters is saying that there could be up to 90 fatalities. This is clearly an attack, a synchronized, planned attack coming one day after the announcement of the Olympic Committee that the 2012 Olympics will be in London. It is coming on the day of a speech given by Benjamin Netanyahu, the former Prime Minister of Israel. It is also coming on the day where Tony Blair is hosting the G8 conference in Scotland. A lot of things are going on that could render possibly this reaction from some sort of extremist group.
Absolutely. And Tony Blair will be speaking in approximately 25 minutes from now.
We hope to cover that live. We will cover it live. We will do everything we can to cover it live. We think it's important that you guys know what's happening.
Absolutely. And, of course, Tony Blair is up in Scotland at the G8. Ken Livingstone, the mayor of London, is on his way back from Singapore. I'm sure he'll have something to say when he returns. This was supposed to be a day of joy in London, and it's turning out to be a day of extraordinary tragedy. Again, anyone who was in the New York area during September 11th knows the kind of panic that must be going through the minds of a lot of people in London. We're reading reports of people saying that they were leaving the Aldgate East Station where one of the explosions took place. Saw people covered in blood. This is a very, very serious and I would say dastardly act on the part of whoever did it, and really seemingly timed to inflict maximum panic.
Rush hour.
Rush hour.
Just awful. You know, I'm having flashbacks of that horrendous morning here on 9/11. I'm also paralyzed with a certain amount of fear because I'm a paranoid person, and I'm wondering if this is in relation to the announcement of the Olympics. Were there other explosions planned in other cities? Had those cities been chosen? Is this in response to the G8 conference? Is this in response to Netanyahu being in England? Who knows? Yeah, what we do know is that this is an unfolding story, and you know the fatalities are starting to come in. You know, you cannot get through on a mobile phone right now to England because so many people are coming from around the world to check on their loved ones, on their relatives, on people they know. We've got someone on the phone right now, a listener of the show who lives in Switzerland, who just talked to her husband in London. Kate, how are you? What's going on? What do you know from talking to your husband?
Okay, luckily he's for once rented a car this time because he had a lot of luggage. Otherwise, he would be on one of the undergrounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get to Gatwick to fly back to Switzerland, which scares me to death because airports haven't been hit, and I would think that would be a logical progression if I were doing it. But he's having trouble. The police have everything locked down now. Roads are closed. Reports are really bad. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the information. I'm glad your husband's safe. We're going to check in with Rachel Maddow, our news person. Appreciate you calling, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
So what do you got, Rachel?
A few new details. They're now reporting, Reuters is now reporting 90 people injured at this point. Police in London are confirming two fatalities, and the new detail here is that they're confirming those two fatalities at a specific underground station. It's the Aldgate East.
East, yeah.
Tube station. So obviously there's been six blasts that we know of, and that's those two fatalities are just from one of the blasts. There's also a new detail, which is a little bit, may speak to where these the responsibility for these blasts. A senior Israeli official says Scotland Yard told Israel minutes before the explosions that it had received warnings of possible terror attacks. Now, Scotland Yard warning Israel seems like kind of a spooky connection at this point. We're not exactly sure what that means, but that's what just came across the AP about 90 seconds ago.
Well, Riley just mentioned that Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking.
It was supposed to be speaking at a conference on the Israeli economy at the Great Eastern Hotel in London, and they've evacuated the hotel. So that may be part of what's going on.
It may be related. You know, it's hard to tell at this point. The Metropolitan Police Commissioner is named Ian Blair. He's issued a statement urging Londoners not to panic. Everything that we're hearing in terms of people with on-site reports say that there isn't a sense of panic in most places in London, that it's eerily quiet because most roads are being shut down. The Metropolitan Police Commissioner also says it's too early to say what caused the blasts. Some people are reporting, some reporters are giving eyewitness statements that they have seen soldiers, actual members of the army, on rooftops in downtown London.
So
they deployed the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, I imagine, because I thought I heard earlier from CNN that they had evacuated a few office buildings around some of the train stations where this took place because they were worried about, you know, I guess some possibility of some backdraft or whatever, or the possibility of fire starting in some of these buildings.
Oh, I don't know.
What I'm fascinated with and I'm hung up with right now, Rachel, is that the Scotland Yard called Israel to alert them that there were possible terrorist threats relating to, it must have been, this speech.
This conference.
It could have been. We don't know. We also don't know because that's the sum total of the information we've got about the Israeli warning. We also don't know. It's possible that Scotland Yard was warning them about possible blasts in Israel.
Yeah.
We don't know. In addition to the mobile phone network going down, reports now that landlines in London are also going down. Of course, there's been no responsibility taken for the blasts as yet. Still only the one bus explosion being confirmed by police, although there are witness reports of three bus explosions. explosions. The police are confirming six total. That would mean five subway stations and one bus.
One bus.
But again, we've heard more than one bus from other witnesses, but they have not been, those other two haven't been confirmed by the police yet.
And again, two fatalities, 90 confirmed injured, and the two fatalities were in one tube station.
At the Aldgate East tube station. The BBC and Reuters websites have been basically inaccessible from the U.S. for most of the last hour. So obviously you want to be getting information from the BBC at this point, but it's hard for us to get it from here. Tony Blair does plan to make a live address, and he's going to do it at the top of the hour at 7 a.m. Eastern.
Great. Well, we'll check back in with you, Rachel. Thanks so much for staying
on top
of this.
Thanks, you guys.
It's great. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
What I'm concerned about now also is we had a little conversation on the break, Riley, is that, you know, what is this, how is this affecting, you know, global security? I wonder what's going on here in New York. Are people awake? Are they taking precautions? We're having people call right now to see where that's at.
Yeah, and my guess is that the NYPD, which really beefed up, obviously, its counterterrorism units, is probably alert and moving right now, trying to make sure that if this is some kind of coordinated attack, it could be head off. Now, there is absolutely no evidence to point to that. But when something happens like this in a city like London, New York,
all cities,
people,
right?
Yeah, all cities, Washington, I'm sure, their people, the Capitol Police and the feds that are involved here, are probably also, you know, checking around, making sure that there's nothing going to happen here as well.
I'll tell you what I'd be doing. If I were Madrid, Paris, Moscow, New York, I'd be checking it out. If that possible avenue of speculation, which is that this is a reaction to the Olympics, if that scenario that I had in my head, my paranoid crazy head, we talked about this before. I don't know who had the scenario first among our staff, but that if this was a reaction to the Olympics, that they could have had a cell, or if that's a that's a speculation in every city that could have had been in that announcement.
Yeah, and that would be five cities in all, four in addition to London.
So as you heard, it's impossible to call London. It's impossible to their mobile phone system is locked down because overwhelmed. Apparently their landlines are now overwhelmed again. Two confirmed fatalities at one tube stop. 90 confirmed injured in the five attacks in the train stations, the five explosions, I should say, and the one confirmed explosion on a double-decker bus. The witnesses' accounts say there might be as many as three double-decker buses. This is unfolding. It's interesting that Rachel said that there's not a lot of panic on the street, because I remember the day after in the morning of 9/11, once the city got shut down, you know, there was shock. I mean, there was not much time, you know, if you weren't down there like my wife was and seeing the sky fall, to have panic, because you were looking at it from afar, you were waking up to it, you were watching it on television, and the shock almost set in immediately, almost like what reality just shifts in these situations. Everything slows down and becomes, you know, completely hyper-real and horrifying.
Oh, absolutely. And you're looking at people, I'm sure, in London who are looking to get to safety, whatever or wherever that may be for them. They are looking to be safe. And of course, London, if you know the history, certainly when they were bombed by the Germans during the Second World War, it was the tube stations that were the safe place.
Yeah,
that's where everybody went during the Blitz. Now you have a situation where I'm sure most people don't think the tube stations are any place to be. And obviously they've shut the system so people cannot access it. And there's no word yet, Mark, on when the tubes will be opened. The bus system is entirely shut down, which means that most people in London, because just like New York, most people in London travel by subway and bus. They don't drive in because you have to pay to do that.
Sure. Tony Blair giving a statement at 7 o'clock. That's Eastern time. That's at the top of the hour for any of you who are listening anywhere else in the world. As we have said before, there are confirmed six explosions in London, five on trains, one on a double-decker bus, two confirmed fatalities, 90 confirmed injured. It is unclear where it came from. There has been evidence that the military has been deployed in downtown London. There were soldiers, military presence seen on rooftops. This is an unfolding story that we are obviously going to focus on as best we can all morning. So stay with us. It's Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's 45 past the hour.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Reilly.
Good morning.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. We are covering live events unfolding in England. It is a horrible morning in London, England today, where there has been a confirmed 5 explosions in 2 stations, 1 explosion on a double-decker bus confirmed. Possibly 3 buses have been hit by explosions of some kind, not hit by, but exploded from within. There have been 2 confirmed fatalities, 90 confirmed injuries. The 2 fatalities were at 1 tube station. We would like to say an important note to our affiliates. Our affiliates, Air America, will be broadcasting Tony Blair's speech live when it begins at the top of the hour in just a few minutes. We will be skipping our commercial break to take his speech live in its entirety. This all started at about 8:49 in the morning, Riley, when a report, an incident on the Metropolitan line between Liverpool Street and Aldgate was reported to British Transport Police. And then as time evolved, there was a report saying that it may have been a power surge, may have been a power outage. And then around 10:02, this is Britain time, Scotland Yard says it's dealing with a major incident, clearly a major incident, a day after the announcement of the Olympic Committee that the Olympics for 2012 will be in London.
Yes.
A day after the G8 conference started, the day of a speech by Benjamin Netanyahu that was supposed to take place in London. Scotland Yard, as Rachel Maddow told us earlier, actually apparently was in contact with the Israeli government saying there might be some terrorist activities, but it was very vague. It was that vague. So a lot of open-ended stuff here, and I don't know how much of that will be cleared up by Blair's statement in a few minutes, but it is certainly necessary as the Prime Minister of that country to address that, and it is necessary as a citizen of the world to keep you people abreast of information out of Britain and everywhere else in terms of what happened and what is happening.
The president of the European Parliament, Josep Borrell, blames terrorism for what he calls, quote, a coordinated series of attacks and confirmed deaths, unquote. That's from the president of the European Parliament. Tony Blair, who will be speaking in about 8 minutes' time, has told Londoners not to make any unnecessary journeys. My guess is that most people won't be able to anyway because the subway system has been shut down. The bus system in London shut down. So
that's
people
also
are not able to get around anyway.
Right. Also a way of saying, you know, don't panic, stay put. We're trying to keep this, in control here. We're trying to assess what's going on. Some military apparently has been deployed in London. There were soldiers seen on rooftops in downtown London. Obviously, the fatality numbers are going to be coming in as well as the morning goes on. It's a horrible, horrible thing that's happened here, and it's something that's familiar to us in New York. We made some phone calls to the authorities here in New York to see if there's been a shift in the terror level, terror alert level. There has not
been
in Manhattan. So that's something we know, which is interesting, because I'm a guy that speculates the worst. Right?
Apparently, security is being ramped up. Our producer, Brendan McDonald, just told us security is being ramped up in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So while the terror alert may not have been heightened here in New York, in D.C. they're paying attention to this. They are actually ramping up security in our nation's capital.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think it's only a matter of time before they start ramping up here. I mean, apparently they don't want anyone to panic or perhaps, not enough calls have come in panic, but I'm assuming, and I'm not a reporter here, so I'm free to speculate that perhaps the terror alert might go up here in New York, but right now it is not. Rachel Maddow has just entered the studio to update our information on the attacks in London as it happens. Rachel.
Hey, fellas.
Hi, Rachel.
The Washington Metro is reporting increased security there. They've got bomb-sniffing dogs going through the Washington Metro system. We've got no confirmed reports about what's happening now right now in New York in terms of increased security, but we're staying on that, staying in touch with the mayor's office and the police department to find out if there will be increased security here going on in New York right now. We do have a little bit bit more information out of London. St. Mary's Hospital in central London is reporting treating injured people for limb damage, burns, cuts, breaks, head injuries, and chest problems due to smoke inhalation. Again, police have still just confirmed one bus blast, though witnesses are reporting that there may be more buses that have been targeted. The Associated Press at this point is reporting 9 wounded, but that seems to be low, since St. Mary's Hospital alone is reporting more wounded than that. The Reuters news agency is reporting 90 people wounded. Again, still 2 people, the only confirmed fatalities at the Aldgate East tube station. We do know that President George W. Bush was aware of the explosions. He's been in briefings with Tony Blair all morning. Tony Blair not planning at this point to come back from Gleneagles, Scotland, where he is there for the G8 summit, but he is expected to make a statement within about 5 minutes, and we're going to be carrying that live here on Air America Radio.
That's an important note to our affiliates. Air America will be broadcasting Tony Blair's speech live when it begins at the top of the hour in just a few minutes. We will be skipping our commercial break to take his speech live in its entirety. We're also going to have Christopher Dickey on the show shortly. He is Newsweek Magazine's Paris Bureau Chief and Mideast Editor. He has written extensively about terrorism in Europe, which this is obviously done at the hands of terrorists of some kind.
Nobody's taken any responsibility at this point. We still haven't had any other word about different warnings. Mm-hmm. They are reporting the Metropolitan Police Commissioner is saying that, urging people obviously not to panic, but he has said since I last spoke with you that there are signs of it at the site of one of today's blasts. So they are confirming that it's bombs.
Really? And they haven't said which site. My guess is they're probably looking at Aldgate East first, because that seems to be the place where the most damage was done.
At least it seems to be the place where the police have been able to confirm fatalities, which may just mean that the police were first on the scene there. We don't know. Some of the pictures that we're seeing of people coming out of the subway stations and coming off of the bus, or possibly the buses that were bombed, I mean, people are pretty seriously injured. There are a lot of walking wounded, so
yeah,
it would be surprising if there are only 2 fatalities, but obviously that's what we're all hoping for.
We just got word that France has upped their terror alert. They are on high alert in that country. I imagine that would make sense, given that if this is, you know, obviously all cities are going to probably ramp up security, but if this is, as I'm thinking in my head, a reaction to the Olympics, and if the possibility that there are other cells in other cities waiting for the announcement of the Olympics, it would only make sense that those cities would up their terror alerts.
The thing that is scary, of course, is that London being 5 hours ahead of us,
mm-hmm.
We've got a situation where we know that their rush hour was targeted.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, every place in the world right now that sees itself as a potential target is worrying about its transportation system, and everybody's trying to take care. As we said, there are increased security measures being taken all over the world right now to make sure that something like this doesn't happen in another city. But so far, since those initial blasts during the London rush hour, there have been no other known explosions anywhere else in the world.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we will bring you Tony Blair's statement from Scotland, where he's at the G8 conference, about what is happening in his country, a horrendous series of explosions that have not been, no responsibility has been claimed yet. Please stay with us for Tony Blair. Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
We welcome back. We are here at Morning Sedition. We had just heard from Tony Blair. It's 6 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio. He said it is reasonably clear it was a terrorist attack. In the studio now to give us an update, we have Rachel Maddow from The Rachel Maddow Show, our news person.
Thanks, Mark. We want to thank all of our local affiliates for helping us blow out that commercial break that we'd usually be taking at this time in order to bring you this breaking news update. Obviously, mm-hmm. when stuff like this happens, you got to go live, and that's what we've done here. Tony Blair, an obviously emotional Tony Blair, describing what he called a series of terrorist attacks in London. He described the people who he expects have committed these attacks as having a desire to impose extremism on the world. He described them as barbaric, and he said they were obviously, in his mind, timed to coincide with the opening of the G8. Of course, the other major issue at this point is that London was awarded the Olympic Games yesterday. We have no idea what the timing of these explosions means, probably until we hear from people who take responsibility for them. He says that he will be leaving the G8 within a matter of hours to go to London. He says he will then return to the G8.
Later this evening.
That was a pretty surprising statement. And he also says that the G8 summit will not be canceled. Of course, that was some of the immediate speculation that the G8 summit would be called off because of this. Blair says that he will go back to London, and then he will return to the G8.
And he was very careful to say that, you know, he thinks that the G8 should go on with the agenda that he was setting, which is, you know, his priority at the G8 was obviously poverty in Africa and trying to get more money and awareness around that. But he seemed pretty steadfast in saying that they are going to continue that business.
What's most interesting to me is that he went pretty far. And he named these as terrorist attacks. That seems pretty plain to all of us across the world right now. But he's describing the extremist ideology of the terrorist who committed these acts. And he talked about the determination of the British people to defend their values in the face of people who would kill innocents in order to impose their extremism on the world. He seems to, in his mind, have a pretty clear idea, at least the types of people, the types of groups that might be responsible here. We've heard nothing quite that's gone quite that far from any other officials as yet. So,
and it seems, again, that there is at least six explosions in the train stations. There's at least one bus that has exploded. There are two fatalities. There has been reports of up to 90 injured. Clearly, those numbers are going to change as the morning goes on. On the phone, we have Robert Baer, a former CIA agent, author of Sleeping with the Devil, calling from Colorado to comment on this and speculate. Bob, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Morning, Bob.
Pretty good. Morning.
So what do you think is going on? What's your take on the situation in London from your professional point of view?
Well, at the risk of always being wrong when an incident like this happens, about who did it and why, but I would pretty much say it's Middle Eastern terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It resembles Madrid. There's a willingness in the Middle East to attack the British for their role in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, a radical part of the Sunni Muslim community is under attack in Iraq. They've vowed revenge against the British as well as against Americans. I just came back from the Middle East from doing a documentary for Channel 4 in Britain on suicide bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's clearly a network out there and a feeling that the West should be attacked as a measure of self-defense. That's the way these people look at it.
Do you think that, I was sort of thinking to myself, if this is in response to, it could be in response to a lot of things, but it's timing alongside the G8, alongside the Olympic announcement, alongside of Benjamin Netanyahu supposed to speak in London today. Do you think there's a risk for other cities right now?
Oh, absolutely. I think the timing was perfect on their part. You know, as a former operations officer, you have to put your mind inside theirs, and this is the time I would hit if I were a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge embarrassment to Blair. Not an embarrassment. It's going to shake his government because there's nothing he can do to stop this.
Mm.
All these explosives that they've got now, the groups are so diffuse. You can get the recipe for this sort of thing on the Internet. You can buy it locally at your hardware store. There's not much you can do about it.
Wow.
Bob, let me say hello. I'm Rachel Maddow. I'm one of the news people here at Air America. Thanks for calling in, first of all. I wanted to ask if you feel like the simultaneous multiple explosions in different parts of the same city, is that the hallmark of any particular group or any particular organization?
Well, it's a hallmark in the sense that I don't think it's IRA.
Okay.
It's not going to serve the IRA's interest at this point. The way these people think, the insurgents in Iraq, the Sunni Muslims, the radicals in the Middle East, it's going to serve their interest because you look at Spain. The Spanish withdrew. The same thing would happen in Italy. The Italians would withdraw from Iraq with explosions like this, and I think they're hoping to pry the British out, and that's the hallmark. You'd have to wait and see what kind of explosives they were to really tell what the group it is. There's a signature.
You know, the British Ministry of Defense today released a report that they are actually pulling, up to, close to 8,000 troops out of Iraq in the next year and redeploying them in Afghanistan within the next year or so. So it doesn't quite sync up in terms of that.
Well, it, just the fact that they're there, the fact that they went into this war, and it's looked, it looked, these people look at it as an unjust war, and they're going to strike wherever they can and however they can. I mean, obviously, if this turns out to be suicide bombers, we'll pretty well know who did it.
Bob Baer, are you surprised? We just heard Tony Blair almost draw a direct line between these attacks and the G8 summit. Are you surprised he was that quick to draw that kind of linkage?
It's complete speculation at this part. It just is, everything I've said is complete speculation. They just don't know. I think he's probably right to coincide more than that with the Olympics.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Of course, they were planning this long before they even knew the Olympics were gonna go to London. But nonetheless, it coincides, and especially with the British public wary about this war in Iraq.
Also, this obviously is ringing bells for us here in New York for 9/11. Obviously, everybody's making that connection, as well as to Madrid. And Madrid happened after the Iraq War was underway. 9/11 was before. There's always a possibility that these attacks would have happened with or without the Iraq War. That's 9/11 certainly happened without it. And I think that Sunni Muslims, extremists who have an Islamist ideology that makes them want to attack America or attack Britain or attack symbols of the West could do it with or without the war.
Absolutely. I mean, as long as you have this conflict, Israeli-Arab conflict going on, we are always going to be the target as long as we appear to be taking sides. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, specifically referred to what was happening in the West Bank and Gaza. They tie all these issues into one, is some sort of neo-colonialism that they need to fight. And they can justify killing civilians as they have in London. This is something that's evolved over the last 10 years, actually since 1994, since the first suicide bombing in Afula against a bus in Israel.
Now, Bob Baer, how closely do the British monitor the reported cells, terror cells that exist in the country? I mean, are the British intelligence services, do you think, are they on top of this?
They can't be. They have too many believers, if you like, in Britain to monitor all of them. It's still a democratic state. It's open. They can't watch everybody. And you know, there were two British suicide bombers in Israel a few years back. They were totally British. Their kids that had grown up there, they sympathized with Hamas. They joined Hamas and they blew up a cafe in Tel Aviv. And the British had no idea who these people were.
Hey, Bob. You know, there's been a lot of, in terms of Bush's approval ratings and the Iraq war being winnable, this country has, you know, really turning its the percentage of people that think it's winnable is dropping. What we're hearing from the military on the ground is that it is unwinnable on a military level. And what you're saying in terms of the planet, in terms of global terrorism, that this is an unwinnable situation, and you're saying that it's almost nearly undetectable, and this will go on. So in terms of Iraq, do you have an idea what should happen next in terms of the United States?
Well, let me put it this way. If we don't get out of Iraq fairly soon, we can expect the same thing here.
Okay, well, that's enough said. Horrifying words, but always great to talk to you. I trust your speculation. You're a smart guy and really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
okay.
Bob.
Bob Baer, regular guest on our show, former CIA agent, author of Sleeping with the Devil. Always very sobering and intense to talk to Bob.
Yeah.
About this matter. Spent a lot of time in the Middle East. Knows these terrorists.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just waking up, the London subway and bus systems are shut down after a series of explosions. There are two fatalities confirmed. Reuters is saying up to 90 people injured. Tony Blair, British Prime Minister, just spoke from Scotland, said he's coming back to London, then going back up to Scotland to continue the work of the G8. Tony Blair linked this series of attacks. He called them reasonably clear terror attacks. He called them barbaric. He said that he thought they were timed to coincide with the G8 summit, but he said that the work of the G8 nations will not stop.
It's 16 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark.
Morning Sedition.
Just to wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Reilly.
Good morning.
Sarah America Radio's Morning Sedition program. It is Thursday morning. It's a horrible Thursday morning in London, England. There have been at least six explosions in the tube stations there. There have been at least one explosion on a double-decker bus there. It is clearly a synchronized attack of some kind. Tony Blair, who we'll hear from in a minute, made an announcement, made a statement at the top of the last hour. There have been two reported fatalities. There's been up to 90 reported injured. It is an unfolding situation. We just spoke to Bob Baer, CIA agent, former CIA agent, a regular guest on the show, who told us this this definitely looks like the work of a similar organization as the Madrid bombings. There are some reports on TV right now that are suspecting maybe Al-Qaeda.
That was according to the BBC. The BBC said there are reports that are linking this series of explosions to Al-Qaeda, but it's not confirmed yet.
Let's hear the statement, a part of the statement that Tony Blair made from Scotland, where he's attending, overseeing the chair of the G8 conference.
It's reasonably clear that there have been a series of terrorist attacks in London. There are obviously casualties, both people that have died and people seriously injured. And our thoughts and prayers, of course, are with the victims and their families. Just as it is reasonably clear that this is a terrorist attack or a series of terrorist attacks, it's also reasonably clear that it is designed and aimed to coincide with the opening of the GA. There will be time to talk later about this. It's important, however, that those engaged in terrorism realize that our determination to defend our values and our way of life is greater than their determination to cause death and destruction to innocent people in a desire to impose extremism on the world.
That's Tony Blair, who made a statement at the top of the last hour from Scotland, where he is, chairing, I guess is the word, the G8 conference. Obviously, he's going to be returning back to England in a few hours, and then he said he will be then returning to Scotland to continue the business at hand that he finds to, he says that the G8 should continue with the agenda it had previous. I just want to make sure the information is right. We have reports of six underground explosions in tube stations, one double-decker bus explosion, two confirmed fatalities, up to 90 confirmed injured. We have a statement from an eyewitness from London right now.
I was staring at the bus in front, which is coming towards us, and then as I was looking at it, it exploded. The top sort of rear section of the bus exploded, ripping the whole of the roof off. The roof, it was pushed into the air about 10
sure.
meters above the bus,
sure.
and then it floated down like a leaf. There was smoke all over the place.
That was an eyewitness in London, obviously talking about the explosion, the horrific explosion of a double-decker bus. We have reports that France has upped their terror alert.
There is a ramping up of security in Washington, bomb-sniffing dogs in the metro subway system in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Here in New York, up until when we last checked with the mayor's office, there has been no official ramping up of security. But my guess is that will soon follow. As Mark pointed out, Tony Blair will be leaving Gleneagles, Scotland for London. He will come back, deal with, and I'm assuming get reports from British intelligence and from the security people there, and then head back up to Gleneagles later on this evening to continue the work of the G8 summit. Again, he said, and you just heard him mention, he is tying the series of attacks directly to the beginning of the G8.
You know, I understand that, and I think he is, speculating as everybody else is. I mean, obviously the timing is, just awesomely horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the beginning of the G8. It is the day after the announcement of the Olympic Committee for London to have the 2012 Olympics. It is also the day that Benjamin Netanyahu had a planned speaking engagement in London. And according to Bob Baer, who we just talked to, our CIA agent, this is ongoing. It doesn't matter what the reason was. I mean, this is clearly, in his eyes, a group of Muslim terrorists.
Yeah, Bob said that the coordination of the attacks did not have the ring of the IRA to him. And, of course, the IRA was responsible for numerous attacks in the past. Mm. But he said that because of the coordination and the timing, he did not think this was the work of the IRA. He is wondering, and we don't yet know whether or not there was a suicide bomber or more than one suicide bomber involved in any of these explosions, but he believes that if that is in fact the case, that this could be the work of some Middle Eastern terrorists. And in fact, the BBC is reporting, some sources are telling them that this could be the work of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's this is unfolding now, and it's all too familiar to people who live here in New York City, the kind of panic and chaos and shock that occurs after something like this. We'll keep you abreast of the situation, so stay with us, please. This is Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. It's 27 past the hour.
Listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. A horrible morning in London, England. We've been reporting as events unfold all morning. There have been six underground explosions in tube stations, and one bus has exploded. There have been fatalities. There are injuries. We have Rachel Maddow in the house here of the Rachel Maddow Show, and our news person to keep us abreast of the situation. What's going on since we last talked, Rachel?
Well, the one development in terms of finding news about what's going on is that it does seem like the BBC website and some BBC feeds are becoming accessible from London after being down for a very long time. According to the BBC, they're now describing, as you said, a total number of seven confirmed blasts, six of them at London Underground subway stations, Edgware Road, King's Cross, Liverpool Street, Russell Square, Aldgate East, and Moorgate, and then they are describing one bus blast as well. London's police chief says traces of explosives have been found at least one site. That's Sir Ian Blair. He said there have been many casualties. We've seen a bunch of different casualty numbers this morning. Reuters has been reporting 90. We're starting to get individual casualty numbers from individual London hospitals. It seems like we won't have a firm grasp of the number of casualties for quite some time. Sir Ian Blair, again, London's police chief, reassuring the public that an emergency plan is in place. He described the situation as steadily coming under control. Some reporters on the scene have been describing the military, have been describing soldiers in camouflage being seen at least on the roofs of some buildings in London. At a press conference, a British official said that the health services are dealing with the terrible injuries that there have been so far. Hospitals have actually stopped accepting non-emergency cases. There were initial reports when we learned about the very first explosion before 5 a.m. this morning that it might have been caused by a power surge. That now seems to certainly not be the case. The National Grid, which supplies power to the underground, said there were no problems with its system, which could have contributed to the incidents. We don't know of anyone who has claimed responsibility for these bombings. Obviously, the fact that they were simultaneous, the fact that there was no warning, the fact that they took, at least as far as we know so far, there was no warning, and that they took place during rush hour does have hallmarks of what happened in Madrid with the Madrid bombings there.
Yeah, and also the terror alerts in the United States have not been changed. They remain at yellow, and New York remains at orange.
Mm-hmm.
They are ramping up security in Washington, D.C. We just got a report that the underground, the subway there, has taken security precautions are in effect there?
Yes, there are bomb-sniffing dogs going through the D.C. metro system. I guess as a general ramping up of security in the wake of this situation. Tony Blair spoke about 37 minutes ago, spoke live from Glen Eagles, Scotland. He will be returning to London and then returning back to the G8 summit, which, of course, he is hosting. And the buses and subways throughout London are closed. No word on when they will reopen.
Okay, that's well, right. We'll listen to that, what Blair had to say again in a few minutes. Right now, we're going to take talk to Newsweek magazine's Paris bureau chief and Mideast editor. He has written extensively about terrorism in Europe. Christopher Dickey is on the line. Christopher, can you give us an assessment in terms of who you think might be responsible for this from your point of view?
Well, it's far too early to say with any kind of certainty, of course, but obviously the modus operandi points at some Al-Qaeda-type group.
Mm-hmm.
That said, then the question is, which Al-Qaeda-type group? Is this Osama bin Laden ordering this kind of activity from afar, or is it a bunch of Al-Qaeda wannabes, the sort of peripheral players who get together and pull off an operation the way they did in Madrid, which was certainly a very bloody and awful operation? Or there's a third possibility that's really disturbing in the political and geopolitical context, which is that Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who has always been sort of an independent player within al-Qaeda and who, of course, is the most notorious terrorist in Iraq, even before the invasion of Iraq, was setting up networks in Europe to bring people to Iraq and then to send people from Iraq back into Europe. If that's the case, if there's a link there, then the political implications and the implications for the global war on terror are really very profound indeed.
The implications would be that, not unlike many people are speculating about Iraq, that people, jihadists from around the world are coming there and training against the Americans, and you're saying that if this is a dispatch from Iraq to London, that that would pretty much say that the Iraq war is causing more global terrorism, without a doubt.
Well, it certainly would, and that would have great implications for Blair politically, and I think for the whole global war on terror. Now, we don't know that at all.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that is the case here. We don't have any evidence that that is the case here, but we do know that that has been a huge concern of all the counterterrorist and intelligence services in Europe for the last year or more, that people will train in Iraq, not only be inspired by the war in Iraq because of their sort of radical Islamic ideology, but will actually train in Iraq and then return to Europe and take terrorism back to Europe or even eventually to the United States. That's a huge concern, and certainly that's got to be one thing that the intelligence services are going to be looking at very, very closely in this case.
Christopher Dickey, we spoke to a former CIA agent about 20 minutes ago, and he said that he didn't think that British intelligence was prepared really to single out any one group and go after them in terms of you know, going right off the top of this situation and perhaps using their intelligence to isolate whoever it is that did this. Is that your sense, that British intelligence really can't get their finger on the pulse of the terror activities in England?
Well, I think that British intelligence has pursued a policy for years of essentially accepting at least the political front organizations of many, many Islamic terrorist organizations and groups, and having them live in London and keeping an eye on them. I mean, it used to be if you wanted to interview Osama bin Laden up until 2001, you went to London to set up all the contacts. They have rolled up some of those networks, but they left a lot of them out there for both for legal reasons and for intelligence reasons. They figured they could follow them, stay tuned with them, figure out what they were doing better than if they just tried to throw everybody in jail and drive them underground.
What were the legal reasons?
Now they're going to have to rethink that policy.
What were the legal reasons?
Well, they have a lot of the same kinds of guarantees of freedom in Britain that we do in the United States. Unlike, for instance, France. In France, they look at somebody, decide they think he's a terrorist, present some evidence. It doesn't have to be probative. And then they throw them in jail for weeks, months, years at a time while they're investigating the case.
Well, one of the ways that Britain has compensated for, I guess, its own susceptibility to terrorist attacks, particularly because of the threat of the IRA, is that Britain is seen as being a place that's really hardened its targets. I mean, the British underground is seen as being a model for how you have an underground system that is hardened against potential terrorist attacks. It seems like the fact that this was the British subway system has got to be, I guess, striking some fear amid transportation planners around the globe, given that it's seen as kind of a model.
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, how hard is the tube in London to hit? I ride it all the time. It never looked very hard to me. Of course, I wasn't carrying a bomb. But I don't think that it is all that difficult. They hardened the targets against the IRA and the kind of terrorism carried out by the IRA. But the kind of terrorism carried out by jihadists is quite different. We don't know yet, for instance, if there were any suicide bombers involved with these attacks. If there were, it'll be yet another indication that an Islamist group was involved. But in Madrid, there were no suicide bombers. There were merely backpacks left on trains. The same kind of thing is not only conceivable, but more than possible on the tube in London. So, yes, I think that everybody knows in public transport and in law enforcement that one of the most vulnerable aspects of modern society is the mass transportation system, especially subways. And this is going to be a very grim reminder to them how hard it is to control that kind of environment.
We're talking to Christopher Dickey. He's a Newsweek magazine's Paris bureau chief and Mideast editor. He is in Paris. Now, in Paris, we've got reports they elevated the alert system.
They do all the time, and they certainly have elevated it now. They've got a program called Vigipirat, which is a high alert system that they can crank up and crank down as they need it. And I haven't seen troops on the streets today, but I haven't been to the airport and I haven't been in the kinds of locales where they would be. It wouldn't surprise me if they're out on the Champs-Élysées right now. One often sees them when the alert goes up.
Do you think that, as Tony Blair speculated, that this is in direct relation to the G8 conference, do you think that the timing of this is specific to that, or it has broader implications?
It looks that way. It certainly looks that way. And to that extent, it's already a success. They've made Tony Blair leave his own conference, return to London. Even if he goes back again to Glen Eagles, the gesture is clear. If we take what seems to be the closest analogy, which is the Madrid bombings in March 11th of last year, then we're looking at a situation with very conscious, very carefully calculated political timing. In the Madrid case, it was right before the elections there. Here, you've got the G8 summit. It's another indication that this is a very well-thought-out operation.
Christopher Dickey of Newsweek Magazine's Paris Bureau Chief, thank you for being with us. It was very informative. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
Okay. Take care. So just to update people who are just tuning in, what's going on, there have been pretty much confirmed that they are terrorist attacks. Can we say that yet, Rachel?
Well, Prime Minister Blair said
apparent terrorist
attacks. Right. It seems unlikely that they would be anything other than that, given that there were 7 simultaneous explosions.
6 of them underground in the tube stations, 1 of them on a double-decker bus, 2 fatalities, up to 90 confirmed casualties, depending on which source you look at. This is still unfolding. We'll keep you abreast of the situation as it unfolds. You're listening to Air America Radio, Morning's Edition with Mark and Rachel today, 45 past the hour. Air America Radio.
Morning's Edition, delivering you from evil.
In 3 hours or less,
Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. It is a horrific morning in London, England. We've been broadcasting and reporting as live as we can all day about the, as Tony Blair said, clearly clearly reasonably, it's reasonably clear that they were terrorist attacks. Scotland Yard is now a slight change in the numbers, confirming three underground explosions. One bus, a double-decker bus, exploded. There are two confirmed fatalities, up to 90 casualties reported. Apparently, according to CNN, I believe, we just saw that there are still people apparently trapped underground.
Underground, there are rescue efforts, Mark, to try and get people out of some of those tube stations where they are apparently still trapped underground. I assume that many of those tube stations lost power in the immediate aftermath of the explosion. And it's very difficult to get people out of a train station, particularly in London, where they are very, very far underground under those circumstances.
Sure. We have a couple of statements here. A spokesperson for the Olympic Committee says, out of Singapore, says it still has full confidence in London as a host of the 2012 Games. Also, there was reports earlier that Israel officials were warned by Scotland Yard of potential terrorist information. Israel's foreign minister says that that is not true. Now we have an eyewitness account. Chris, can we play that?
I was on the Piccadilly line this morning, leaving from King's Cross Station. The train was very crowded. People were jammed in. We left the platform, started going underground. Approximately a few hundred feet into the tube, there was an explosion, a flash of light. Everything went dark. Train ground to a halt. There was emergency lighting that came on. People started screaming. And there was what appeared to be smoke or soot was everywhere, and it was all over our clothes and our hands. And we just had no idea what was going on.
What happened next?
Well, people started screaming. People felt very uncomfortable, so everyone just spent time with each other, just trying to calm everyone down, and that seemed to go fairly well in our carriage. But in other carriages, you could hear people just feeling very uncomfortable, and some people grabbed the hammers, started smashing glasses, trying to open the door. And really, just no one had any idea what was going on for 15 or 20 minutes. There was no word from the London Underground staff. There was clearly no electricity to be had except for emergency lighting. And so we were basically had left to ourselves.
And what happens after that? You had 15 or 20 minutes, and then what happens?
And then, people started getting hot, people started getting uncomfortable, people started sharing water, people were taking their, taking their coats off to breathe through their coats, just trying to cut down the amount of smoke and soot that was in the air, at which time some people started just trying to get off the train and walking, just trying to walk out of the platform. And we were there for probably another 5-10 minutes, and then London Underground staff came and said, and took us off the train and walked us back up an auxiliary tunnel to take us out of the station back to King's Cross.
That eyewitness account came to us from CNN. Right now, we have my friend, who we planned to have on the show to have some fun, but obviously it's not a fun morning, but Greg Proops is in London, England, as he spends a lot of time there performing. You know Greg from Whose Line Is It Anyways? He will be performing here in Manhattan this weekend, but obviously we're going to talk to him about what is going on there now. Greg, what's going on where you are? Have you seen anything? What's the tone of culture there at this point in time?
Well, I haven't been. I'm afraid I don't have anything wildly intelligent to add at this point. I haven't been outside yet. I was sleeping. I was out doing a show last night and eating in Chinatown at 2 in the morning, and when I woke up this morning, this had all transpired. It is a horrible day today, but London's a huge place, and so everywhere else aside from where the blasts happened, I think things are kicking along as normal. It's just, obviously, to come out during the G8, it seems a fairly calculated, calibrated attack. The news here is giving several different reports. Some people are saying 7 different explosions. And the casualty count is, of course, still up.
Yeah. So, Greg, in general, when you're in London and you're taking the tube and you're moving around through the world there, do you ever get a sense that there is that it is secure? Do you get a sense that do you feel safe? Is this it's hard for me to imagine because I've never really been there, but I do know from living in New York that I never quite feel safe on the train.
Well, that's a good question, Mark. To be honest, I don't think most people, and I know I don't, give it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
I just figure, life as usual.
Someone's taking care of that.
Sorry?
Someone's taking care of that.
Well, someone's taking care of that. I suppose it's a misplaced responsibility. my great fear is, aside from, terrorist attacks, is to live in a police state where every single day you're checked everywhere you go and there's nothing but, high security in the name of security. But, mm-hmm. The I didn't really think about it. And also, when I lived here several years ago, you were much more likely to encounter an IRA bomb. There was bombings in my neighborhood when I lived here.
Yeah.
So it's been something that people have lived with here for years and years. So no one is extra cautious or extra panicky about anything. The difference always was in London than in the States is if you were in a dressing room in a store, it would say, please report any suspicious packages. And if there was a package laying around, people would go like, whose is this? You know what
yeah.
I mean? There was always sort of more of that awareness going on here. You know, to tie up a city, this is what you want to do, is tie up the tube, because the emergency services are stressed here, you know.
Absolutely.
They're asking people not to call unless they're dying and, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not, the thing about London, like any, you know, place, when these things happen, no one is panicked. Everyone's very calm.
Might be shocked, Greg.
The sight of the blast was terrible.
It might be a little shock. Riley?
Well, Greg Bruce, I assume you were out on... How you doing? I assume you were out last night. I'm sure there was a lot of elation on the streets of London yesterday after the Olympics. And now to turn around and, you know, just a few hours later and have this happen, I guess a lot of people might be a bit shocked, huh?
It's like a forearm to the chest, I think, here. You know what I mean? Because yesterday there really was... I was, of course, in my snide, cynical way, sneering at their giddiness over having received the Olympics, because I thought, well, the payoff will be they promised not to win any, you know, gold medals. And now today it's just, as someone put it on the news this morning, it's a hideous day, you know, with their typical characteristic for understatement. So, yeah, it's I don't know how to describe it without sounding glib. It's an enormous...
Well, that was that.
Wow.
The abrupt end to the Greg Proops interview. Well, Greg, you know, primarily, you know, he is a comedian, and he's not a reporter, but he is in London. So we thought we'd talk to him about what he was experiencing on the ground there. Comedian Greg Proops will be at Caesars in Atlantic City this week, and I do have to say that, even though it's I don't have to say it, but that's why we had him on initially. Right now we're getting reports that there are 160 wounded. An Islamic website claims Al-Qaeda is responsible. That doesn't mean that that is true. These websites post that kind of stuff all the time. Coming up, we have Larry Johnson, former official in the State Department's counterterrorism office, also a frequent guest on our show. We'll definitely be looking forward to hearing what he has to say about this.
Absolutely. 160 wounded. There is a lot of chaos going on the streets of London. We will fill you in next here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
This morning we have been covering throughout our show the bomb explosions, the terrorist attacks, most likely terrorist attacks. Tony Blair said it's reasonably clear that they're terrorist attacks in London, England. We had six underground explosions, one bus. Now we have Rachel Maddow from the Rachel Maddow Show, our news person who's been in the foraging for information in the newsroom and helping us all morning here. What is the latest update, Rachel?
Well, there are quite a few revisions within the last about 20 minutes or so. And you got to keep in mind here, there's a lot of imperfect information.
Absolutely.
We got the mobile phone system basically down in London, largely, not only because of volume, but apparently Vodafone, which is one of the largest systems, reporting that they made a lot of their service available purely for emergency use, emergency services, so that locked out a number of personal users.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting development. But because that we don't have a lot of phone contact because people aren't able to get in touch with their reporters on the ground, there is imperfect information. So I am cautious in therefore telling you that there's a possible revision in the total number of explosions in London. The Home Secretary in London now confirming a total of four explosions rather than seven, three underground and one bus. In terms of the number of fatalities, we had earlier described two fatalities at the Aldgate East underground station. CNN and the BBC now reporting a total of 12 fatalities confirmed, an additional 10 at the King's Cross underground station. Some reports there that there's a rescue operation, an evacuation underway in King's Cross that has been completed, but that they left the bodies of people who did not make it, people who died, behind. So that may be an imperfect count.
So now there's no one trapped underground anymore? They've gotten the last of them out?
I don't know that for sure, but okay. That's what we're hearing about King's Cross specifically.
Let me get this straight. Yeah. Four underground explosions, one bus explosion.
No, three underground, one bus, so total of four.
Tony Blair speaking again.
Nor will we allow it to stop the work of this summit. We will continue our deliberations in the interests of a better world. Here at this summit, the world's leaders are striving to combat world poverty and save and improve human life.
He's in at the G8 summit in Scotland, Tony Blair.
The perpetrators of today's attacks are intent on destroying human life. The terrorists will not succeed. Today's bombings will not weaken in any way our resolve to uphold the most deeply held principles of our societies and to defeat those who would impose their fanaticism and extremism on all of us. We shall prevail, and they shall not.
That's a joint statement from the G8 leaders. That was Tony Blair speaking on behalf of the G8 leaders in Scotland. That was live. It happened just now as you heard it.
Powerful to see him standing there with Bush and all of the other G8 leaders, with Vladimir Putin, with all of them lined up there behind them, to see them saying this is an attack on all nations, and to have the representatives of the most wealthy, most powerful nations in the world all there together in person. It's a pretty dramatic statement.
Definitely a dramatic statement, and they obviously, everybody looked quite disturbed and very somber. On the phone now, former official in the State Department's counterterrorism, a frequent guest on our show, Larry Johnson, is with us. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, guys. Hey, Larry.
Look, we've been talking to people all morning. Who do you think is responsible for this by the evidence we have so far?
It's got all the hallmarks of Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't found bin Laden now, almost 3.5 years after the 9/11 attacks, and you had many in the Bush administration saying, well, it didn't matter whether we got him now.
There is some Islamic website that is claiming Al-Qaeda did it, but that there's no reason to believe that necessarily.
Well, the only reason to believe it is the only group that has consistently carried out coordinated attacks, multiple bombings, has been Al-Qaeda. That's been sort of their signature.
Mm-hmm.
The other element is that in London in particular, you have a fairly extensive radical Islamic network that has not been rolled up. Again, I'm not advocating or saying that it's important to go out and lock up all Islamic extremists. But, the fact of the matter is they don't have that kind of network here in the United States. But they do have that network in London, and the transfer in getting back and forth from the continent, from France, where there are some other networks on the tube, is fairly easy. So.
But these Islamic websites don't necessarily, they're not necessarily credible. They do scramble to take responsibility.
Listen, sometimes some of these websites claim credit for the eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't think you can necessarily go on that. But I think when all is said and done, just as was the case with the bombings in Madrid, Spain, back in March of 2004, that, they're going to find out that, well, these guys are still alive and kicking, and we need to do something about it. Look, they're serious. They think that they're fighting a holy war, and they feel that, these are legitimate targets.
Now, Larry Johnson, if it turns out that Al-Qaeda is responsible for this coordinated series of attacks, does it make a difference from an intelligence perspective whether it is Zarqawi's people operating out of Iraq or perhaps people operating on orders of bin Laden?
Well, I doubt that this has anything to do with Zarqawi. Zarqawi is, he can carry out attacks in Iraq, and his followers can, but they don't have this level of sophistication, I mean, and foresight and planning. You know, because, you know, think about it, to be able to put together, to just be sitting down and saying, okay, there's going to be a meeting of the G8. Now, you go and ask the average person in the United States, what's the G8? And they're going to, you know, think maybe it's a professional baseball team of some sort.
We're talking to Larry Johnson, former official in the State Department's counterterrorism office. So you're saying there's no reason to speculate along the possibility that these attacks could have been pulled off by people who may have been in Iraq, who may have trained in Iraq.
The possibility that they had been and trained in Iraq is one thing. But I think the mastermind, the vision for it was generated through this network, this link to the Zawahiri and Bin Laden.
Okay.
Bin Laden number two. And remember, it was the Zawahiri just about 3 weeks ago issued a statement, you know, calling upon followers for attacks. And that in the past has usually been associated with an attack following shortly thereafter. So, you know, I think, again, they remain the usual suspect. You can't rule out, and at the end of the day, this investigation has got to determine who did it. Because, you know, whether or not Al-Qaeda is linked to this, you know, we need to take care of their leadership and get rid of them. But you still have to do the investigation. Possibility of the IRA, though highly unlikely, because this is just atypical of IRA tactics. They always give a warning in advance. The anarchists who have been prominent at all the G8 meetings, it really doesn't fit their mode. They're anarchists. They're not planners. they tend to be fairly chaotic.
As the investigation gets underway of what happened in London, it seems like that there's probably one bus blast, several blasts underground. If it's determined that there were or weren't suicide bombers, we don't know if there were suicide bombers, will that give us some indication of who might be responsible?
Sure. You know, what we've seen with the Islamic extremists, and particularly what's going on in Iraq, we've never seen this level in the history of, you know, terrorist activity, this level of suicide bombings that has gone on in Iraq.
Right.
I would suspect that in this case, these guys probably did something more along the lines of what happened in Madrid, where they took on backpacks, left the backpacks, got off so that they wouldn't be there. I mean, this suicide thing sounds good in practice until you have to step up and do it, and then you find a lot of people who get cold feet or prefer to not be there when it goes off.
Well, some of the concern, Larry Johnson, in Iraq is that that now the suicide bombers are not necessarily jihadists, but just a sort of a regular Iraqi people who are desperate and angry.
I doubt that, because it's the ones who are desperate and angry are not necessarily going to be willing to give up their lives. But in some cases, there is some evidence that the suicide bombings that have taken place there have occurred because people have had their hands, frankly, taped to the steering wheel of a car. They didn't have any choice.
Because we've got some information. So we've talked to some reporters who've been in Iraq and spent some time with the insurgents that said that some of the suicide bombers are not necessarily jihadists, but your picture is a grim reality, too, as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Larry, what do you make of reports that we heard at one point that people in the Israeli government were warned by Scotland Yard of an impending attack? The Israelis are now denying that. What do you make of that?
The rumor and confusion that surrounds these events is that's just typical. You know, there may be something to it, maybe not. I think, knowing the British intelligence apparatus, that if they actually thought that there was some possibility of an attack along that line, they would have been moving fairly aggressively and wouldn't be sitting on it.
Larry Johnson, thank you for joining us again.
Hey,
it's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, bye.
Okay, again, three underground explosions, one bus explosion, 160 casualties, 12 fatalities. Am I about to, did I get it right there, Rachel?
That's what we've got so far. But again, these numbers keep changing. We were earlier saying seven explosions.
Yes.
So it's right now what we've got confirmed from Scotland Yard and the Home Secretary is three underground and one bus. Again, 160 wounded. Those numbers, it should be said, are from the hospitals. So that's been cobbled together from media reports of what the hospitals say. That will probably change. We know about 12 fatalities so far at two of the underground stations.
That's in London, England. No rise in the terror alert here in New York. They are ramping up terrorist precautions in Washington, D.C., in the subways.
Yes.
And in France, we heard that the terror alert is up there. We will keep you up on everything that is going on. So stay with us. This is Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark, and Rachel. Today, it's 17 past the hour.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
It's 22 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's been a rough morning in London, England. Obviously, we've been covering this all day. There were explosions, 3 underground explosions in train stations. 1 double-decker bus exploded. 160 casualties have been reported. 12 fatalities have been reported. It's, you know, a statement a while back, a couple hours ago, by Tony Blair said it was reasonably clear that it was a terrorist attack. A synchronized terrorist attack. We've had former CIA officer Bob Baer on the air speculating that it was probably a Muslim terrorist attack. We just had Larry Johnson, a former counterintelligence official, say that it was probably an Al-Qaeda attack. They are now checking subways in New York City. They're not stopping subways to search them, but they are searching them as they go through.
Right.
We just had a statement of, from Tony Blair speaking on behalf of the entire G8 conference from England. We will hear from Scotland. I'm sorry. We will hear some of that now.
We will not allow violence to change our societies or our values, nor will we allow it to stop the work of this summit. We will continue our deliberations in the interests of a better world. Here at this summit, the world's leaders are striving to combat world poverty and save and improve human life. The perpetrators of today's attacks are intent on destroying human life. The terrorists will not succeed. Today's bombings will not weaken in any way our resolve to uphold the most deeply held principles of our societies and to defeat those who would impose their fanaticism and extremism on all of us. We shall prevail, and they shall not.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair speaking on behalf of the entire G8 conference in that statement from Scotland that just happened minutes ago. A spokesperson for the Olympic Committee in Singapore says it still has full confidence in London as a host of the 2012 Games. There were some early reports that Scotland Yard had warned Israeli officials of a possible terrorist attack. It's unclear what that exactly what that report was. We did know that Benjamin Netanyahu, the former Israeli prime minister,
currently finance minister,
was supposed to speak in England today. He obviously canceled that speech. There's a lot of things going on around the timing of this attack. Obviously, the announcement of the Olympics, obviously the G8 conference, obviously Benjamin Netanyahu being there. But, you know, according to Bob Baer, who is a former CIA agent, he said, you know, they just picked their timing. It didn't necessarily be in relation to this. This is part of an ongoing war that these terrorists see themselves as fighting.
Absolutely. And Tony Blair, immediately after speaking at Glen Eagle, is now apparently heading toward a helicopter that's on a launch pad there in Scotland for the trip back to London. And then he will be going back to Glen Eagle, at least that's what he said initially, later on this evening to continue the work of the G8 summit.
He is staying on message in terms of what he wants to get done at the G8 summit. You know, world leaders are facing pressure to scale back goals for relieving African poverty and combating disease on the world's poorest continent. But Prime Minister Tony Blair today, even with all this going on, he said Wednesday he planned to keep campaigning for his ambitious objectives with other world leaders in terms of the condition of the poverty in Africa.
Absolutely. And, of course, we've been hearing constantly changing numbers since we went on the air this morning, Mark, in terms of the numbers of explosions, in terms of the numbers of casualties. This is not unusual in the chaos that follows this kind of event. We saw it happen on September 11th when people were reporting at one point that there was a bomb in the Empire State Building, there was a bomb in Penn Station, there were bombs in these different New York City landmarks. None of that turned out to be true, but people reported them at the time because that's how reporting goes. You know, people step into a vacuum when there is not a complete knowledge of what's going on. So we heard initially as many as 9 different explosions. Now it's down to 4. Scotland Yard is confirming 3 underground, 1 bus, and we've seen pictures of the bus, Mark. The top of that double-decker bus was completely ripped off.
Yeah, ripped off. 160 casualties total so far that have been confirmed, 12 fatalities confirmed. Also, I think, Riley, the number of news outlets with information coming out of them would probably cause some of that chaos in terms of numbers as well. I mean, if you've got a bunch of different news outlets reporting on the ground and not anyone relying yet on Scotland Yard numbers, you know, it's all speculation on some level and eyewitness accounts. We're going to keep you up on this. I mean, this has been ongoing. We're looking for maybe a statement from the New York Police Department in terms of city security here in New York City. That might be coming up in a little while. You're listening to Air America Radio's Mornings Edition with Mark and Mark, 27 past the hour.
Mornings Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Thirty-four past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. We are going to go now to a statement being made by the President of the United States, George W. Bush, who is at the GA conference in Scotland. The statement started a couple minutes ago, so it's pretty fresh. Can we hear that, Chris?
I spent some time recently with the Prime Minister, Tony Blair. I had an opportunity to express our heartfelt condolences to the people of London, people who lost lives. I appreciate Prime Minister Blair's steadfast determination, his strength. He's on his way now to London, here from the GA, to speak directly to the people of London. He'll carry a message of solidarity with him. This morning I've been in contact with our Homeland Security folks. I instructed them to be in touch with local and state officials about the facts of what took place here in London and to be extra vigilant as our folks start heading to work. You know, the contrast between what we've seen on the TV screens here, what's taking place in London, what's taking place here is incredibly vivid to me. On the one hand, you got people here who are working to alleviate poverty, to help rid the world of the pandemic of AIDS. And they're working on ways to have a clean environment. And on the other hand, you got people killing innocent people. And the contrast couldn't be clearer between the intentions and the hearts of those of us who care deeply about human rights and human liberty, and those who kill, those who've got such evil in their heart that they will take the lives of innocent folks. This is the war on terror goes on. I was most impressed by the resolve of all the leaders in the room. Their resolve is as strong as my resolve, and that is we will not yield to these people. We'll not yield to the terrorists. We will find them, we'll bring them to justice, and at the same time we will spread an ideology of hope and compassion that will overwhelm their ideology of hate. Well, thank you very much.
There you go. That was President Bush moments ago speaking in response to the terrorist attacks in London and what is going on there. Obviously didn't didn't take him long for a little self-aggrandizement and also to note the difference between what's going on up there and what's going on in London. Of course, up there, they are trying to talk him into chipping in more money than he has to the cause of global poverty and global AIDS, which he has been relatively inactive, made a lot of promises, but not that active. We have Rachel Maddow in the house here from the Rachel Maddow Show and our news person to give us an update of what's going on in London. Rachel?
We do have a couple of updates. We have unconfirmed reports of more fatalities, according to the police. What we had first was two fatalities at the Aldgate East Underground Station. We've since had reports of 10 fatalities at the King's Cross Underground Station. Now there are, and these are unconfirmed as yet, it's from the reporter's log on the BBC website. They're saying that police are describing more fatalities at a third underground station at Edgware Road, but we don't know the number yet. So stay tuned there. Expect the casualty number to go up. We also have more information about the group that has taken responsibility for the attack. A group calling itself the Secret Organization of Al-Qaeda in Europe posted a claim of responsibility for the blast, saying they were in retaliation for Britain's involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, the authenticity of the message cannot be confirmed. The statement also threatened attacks, interestingly, against Italy and Denmark. It was posted online at Der Spiegel magazine in Berlin. They published the text on their website, as well as a secular Arabic language news website called Elaf. It's been translated by the Associated Press. I will not force you to endure the horrifying language, but I will give you one part of it. Quote, this is as translated by the AP, we warned the British government and the British people repeatedly. We have carried out our promise and carried out a military attack in Britain after great efforts by the heroic Mujahideen over a long period to ensure its success.
This could be bunk, though, right?
Absolutely could be bunked. It's almost impossible to verify these things. And even if we had all the time in the world, it might not be possible to verify these things, let alone instantly as soon as it appears. You do have to keep the one thing that it does signal to me, though, and that you don't have to believe the statement to actually absorb the point that these types of coordinated attacks would have taken a long time to plan. So the idea that these are a response to the Olympic announcement, which was just yesterday, becomes very unlikely.
Yeah, that becomes unlikely. And it's interesting, too, that they mentioned Denmark, which was George W. Bush's last stop before going to the G8.
It's also interesting that the British Ministry of Defense has just got a report that they've drafted plans for a significant withdrawal of troops from Iraq over the next 18 months and a big deployment to Afghanistan. That is, by next April, British troop levels of 8,500 will be reduced to 4,000 to 5,000 by the first part of 2007, and the British presence will be 1,000 advisors and training personnel come that time. But this will also coincide with a deployment of 3,000 troops to Afghanistan, where I guess the British troops are going to take over from the U.S. troops in southern Afghanistan.
Well, the fighting in Afghanistan, we know it's been taken has taken a real uptake and uptick in recent months. We've lost those three of the four Navy SEAL team there. We've lost those 16 U.S. service members in that Chinook crash trying to rescue the SEAL team last week. They have been fighting the Taliban.
The Taliban
is still there in Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden is still on the loose. We're in Afghanistan now for years. We're in Iraq now for years.
Yep.
To the extent that this conflict has to do with Western troops being based in these places that are seen as trigger points for Islamic extremists, unless people are going to pull out immediately, how much progress have we made since 9/11?
And how much isn't even reported? I mean, obviously these the heroin business is out of control again in Afghanistan. There's regions of the country that are completely. That's why they call Hamid Karzai the mayor of
Kabul.
Because he's got no real power to do anything.
You know, it's interesting. I watching George W. Bush speak just now, I found something very interesting. When he kind of velcroed his war on terror with the British resolve to deal with this most recent attack.
Yes.
His statement that their resolve is my resolve. I found that very interesting because what I think he's trying to do is make political his war on terror and liken it to what the British are now having to deal with. In other words, see, I told you we have to deal with this.
This is where his pathological narcissism really serves him, because he really sees, you know, anybody in the world that's doing anything against terror as he sees it as just being part of him.
Yes, he said, he actually said, I am as impressed by their resolve. I'm impressed by the resolve of all those leaders. I think they are as resolved as I am.
As I am, yeah.
We are all me.
We are. Exactly.
Exactly.
It's hard hard to see him talk about, to face something like this and to not only talk about what Britain is going through, but to make it about himself again, to start talking about the evil in the hearts of his enemies, to start talking about those things, and then to go into what has been his recent trope in talking about terrorism, which is that it's one ideology against another.
Yeah, the ideology of hope.
Hope and compassion against their ideology of hate. So instead of having a war on a tactic, which is terrorism, we're now going to have a war on an ideology, which, you know, gets real close to the idea of a crusade, which he accidentally said right after 9/11.
That's right. Again, if you're just tuning in, we are if you're just waking up, we are referring to a series of explosions in London, three underground in the tube stations, one bus. The number is at, what, 160 casualties? How many? Two more fatalities? 14 fatalities reported?
We don't have a total number. We have two from Aldgate East Tube Station, 10 from King's Cross, and an unknown number at a third tube station, which is called Edgware Road.
The people we have talked to about, you know, what this is, assume it's a Muslim terrorist, an Islamic jihadist of some kind, Al-Qaeda. A website has taken responsibility, but it's not clear if that's true. We asked earlier Robert Baer, a former CIA agent, about the security situation in England. This is just a little while ago.
How closely do the British monitor the reported cells, terror cells that exist in the country? I mean, are the British intelligence services, do you think, are they on top of this?
They can't be. They have too many believers, if you like, in Britain to monitor all of them. It's still a democratic state. It's open. They can't watch everybody. And you know, there were two British suicide bombers in Israel a few years back. They were totally British. Their kids that had grown up there, they sympathized with Hamas. They joined Hamas and they blew up a cafe in Tel Aviv. And the British had no idea who these people were.
That was a former CIA officer, Robert Baer, on our show just a while ago. There's no indication that these were suicide bombers. We don't know what kind of devices they were. There is an indication that they were obviously explosive devices. We don't know what yet.
They did say they found traces of explosives at one of the sites, one of the blast sites at least. We don't know if they were suicide bombers, if they were parcels or bags or anything like that left. We just don't have the details yet.
George Bush said that he's alerted Homeland Security, though, in our calls to the New York Police Department. There's been no elevation of the terror alert here in New York. They are checking some subways in passing. They're not stopping subways. We may talk to somebody from the police department in the next 15, 20 minutes. We don't know. We're trying to get somebody on the phone for a statement.
Yeah, and they are, in fact, police with bomb-sniffing dogs are going through the D.C. metro system, the Washington metro system, looking for the possibility of some packages being left or that sort of thing. So there are security ramp-ups. I assume there will probably be more. As the president said, he had instructed the Homeland Security Department to make contact with state and local authorities across the country to begin the process of checking for any possible suspicious activity.
So if you are here in New York, they are stopping trains at the station, so you might plan a little extra time for your commute or walk today. So look, we're going to try and finish up with some more breaking news, and also we have some announcements to make about we're going to be in Brooklyn this week
tomorrow.
We haven't talked about that at all, and because it wasn't necessarily appropriate to it's appropriate to announce things, but look, it's been a heavy morning.
It's a different day.
But we will be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn tomorrow morning from 6 to 9. We'll have some free coffee and giving away some stuff. Rachel Maddow's been here all morning. It was great. I'm glad you were here.
Thanks, Rachel.
I'm
really
happy to help out. It's a big day.
Okay, 46 past the hour. Stay with us. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition. Fighting treason with reason. This is Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
This morning's edition on Air America Radio. We've been covering the bomb, the explosions in London, England all morning. At current count, There have been three underground explosions. There's been one bus explosion. There are about 160 casualties. There are about 12 fatalities confirmed. Tony Blair made a statement in response to this attacks early on in the morning, saying that it is reasonably clear it's terrorism. He later went on to make a statement on behalf of the G8 conference as a whole, talking about their resolve and their also their desire to continue the G8 conference with the docket at hand, which is to deal with global poverty and global AIDS. New York City is on heightened alert this morning following a series. Why am I just reading this? New York City is on heightened alert because of London. Increased police coverage of subways, buses, and transit stations has been ordered throughout the city. A law enforcement source tells the Associated Press that Police Commissioner Raymond Kelly is meeting with department officials and has executed additional security plans. Governor Pataki says the public should remain alert and report any suspicious activities, and he says the greatest way to deter terrorism is to continue with daily activities in what he calls the greatest city in the world.
Yep, and Tony Blair is now on his way back to London from Gleneagles, Scotland, where he was hosting the G8 summit. He is going to London. He will be briefed by the intelligence and security agencies in London and then head back up to Gleneagles later on this evening. President Bush, about 20 minutes or so ago, addressed the terror attacks in London, talking about the fact that he had contacted Homeland Security people here in the States, asked them to coordinate with state and local officials to heighten security across America in the wake of this attack. I believe France is also on a heightened alert at this point.
And D.C.
And the nation's capital, yes, they've had bomb-sniffing dogs since the early morning rush hour this morning in Washington, D.C., checking trains there for any possible
for any possible suspicious activity.
Sure.
You know, and it's hard to know. It's hard to know who's responsible for this. We've talked to Bob Baird this morning, a former CIA official. We talked to Larry Johnson, a former counterterrorism official. We talked to Chris Dickey from Newsweek, who is in Paris, and he reports on the Middle East and this type of terrorist activity. All of them say it reeks of something
Al-Qaeda.
Similar to the Madrid bombing, to possibly Al-Qaeda. Some subsidiary or franchise of Al-Qaeda has taken responsibility for this already on a website, an Islamic website, but that does not mean anything necessarily. They take responsibility for the eclipse of the sun, as Larry Johnson says, on some days.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at, Mark, a situation where, you know, the G8 summit is taking place. There's a conference on the Israeli economy taking place in London at the same time. It's 24 hours after the Olympics, and of course the unconfirmed claim of responsibility spoke to the British involvement in Iraq. So there are any number of issues that might well have provoked this attack, and we don't know yet.
I'll tell you, you know, the whole morning is just it gave me that sketchy feeling that I had on 9/11. Just there was just a taste of that in the back of my head. That fear, that shock, that panic, that knowing that things aren't right, and something horrible has happened. I would like to say tomorrow I'd like to invite people who are regular listeners to our show to come hang out with us. We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Pop Coffee Shop on Cortelyou Road in Flatbush, Brooklyn, tomorrow from 6 to 9. It's going to be me and Mark and the fellas, Lawton Smalls, Cardinal Milfington, Johnny K Street. We'll be giving away shirts and things and books, and we'll have free coffee. And we'll also be giving away free subscriptions to Film Movement, which is a DVD of the Month Club that sends you a new independent or foreign film each month. You can podcast Morning Sedition and take us with you in your MP3 player. Go to morningsedition.com and click on the podcast link to download recent shows. Obviously, today we didn't do any comedy. We didn't do a lot of things that we thought we were going to do because we thought this was, obviously pressing, important news to keep abreast of. Tomorrow, I believe, we will begin again to crucify Karl Rove.
Yes.
We will again start
Dog
to...
Dr- George W. Bush.
Dog George W. Bush and what he is and isn't doing in terms of the G8 conference. We will, talk about the plane case. We will talk about other things that we didn't get to do today because obviously there were more important things at hand. We will go into the Gonzalez, possible Alberto Gonzalez nomination with the Supreme Court. All that we will cover tomorrow.
We will deal with tomorrow, sure. And, one of the strange byproducts of this series of attacks in London is that crude oil fell from a record of more than $62 a barrel here in New York after the explosions in London. Crude oil for August delivery went down as much as 2.7% down to $59.60 a barrel. People in London are saying that this is just a matter of blind panic. People just don't think rationally. This is according to Bruce Evers, who's an oil analyst at Investec Securities in London, says it's a knee-jerk reaction after the big jump in prices over the last few days. So I don't know why, I don't know how, but crude oil prices go down after a tragedy.
Sure. I don't know how or why either. I have nothing to add to that.
Me neither.
I wish I could speculate, but I don't. I'd also like to say a deep thanks to Rachel Maddow for hanging out with us all today, and staying on top of the news in the newsroom. Everybody did a great job today. Dave, Anthony, our new intern, and Dave, our new half an intern. But we got Dan Pashman in the booth, and Brendan McDonald and Kalo on the board, and Chip. The engineer, everyone that really stepped up and made this coverage work today. Appreciate all your input.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to be in Brooklyn tomorrow, folks. If you're in the New York area, come on out and see us. Cortelyou in Flatbush, the Vox Pop Coffee Shop. Maren, it's been a different day.
Yeah, good job today, Riley.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you tomorrow here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.